please start again.
I'm going to quickly start on agenda paper 5. I suppose only to explain maybe why you're suddenly seeing this one for discussion and you haven't seen it before, even as part of our work in progress paper. And I suppose it's just to explain that the issue is one that we just got submitted a couple of weeks ago. And the questions that were submitted relate to sort of applying some amendments to IFRS 10 on investment entities that are being applied for the first time in 2016. So we were informed that it would be very helpful for the committee to discuss these questions at this time before the end of the year, at the time the practice is really developing around this amendment, to really kind of avoid, you know, sort of differences going off in different directions early on.
So this is our opportunity to exhibit our ability to react on a timely basis. No pressure, committee members.
Yeah, that's what we hope. So, Javed, I'll hand over to you.
Yep, thank you. For the submitter raised four questions about how an investment entity that has subsidiaries, I'll refer to that as a parent investment entity, assesses whether it consolidates the subsidiary. We'll discuss our analysis of each issue, and I'll pause and ask you if you agree with our analysis and conclusions on each of the issues before I move on to the next question. So I'll start with the first issue. The submitter described a situation in which a subsidiary of a parent investment entity possesses all three elements of the definition of an investment entity that are listed in paragraph 27 of IFRS 10, but it has only one related investor. As a result, it does not have all the typical characteristics of the investment entity that are listed in paragraph 28 of IFRS 10. And the submitter asked whether the subsidiary is an investment entity. Our analysis of this question is outlined in paragraph 11 to 17 of the paper. In our view, a subsidiary that possesses all three elements of the definition of an investment entity is an investment entity, even if it does not have all the typical characteristics that are listed in paragraph 28. So I will pause here and ask if you agree with our analysis and conclusions on question one.
Yes. So, Javed, I agree with the conclusion. I think you're spot on. Mm-hmm. My concern with the question is that it's phrased in the context of a subsidiary when this question, and I don't hope not to repeat it, but for three of the four questions here, it really is about the definition of investment entity and applies beyond a subsidiary, applies to all entities. So I know we'll get to the wording of the agenda decision later, but I would have preferred to see this all addressed in the context of definition of agenda decision for all, and I'm sorry, definition of an investment entity in the context of all entities, not just a subsidiary.
That's a fair point. Anybody else? Observations on question one? Reinhardt?
I agree with the staff's analysis, I know we'll turn to the wording of the agenda decision later. What I found about the agenda decision wording is that it didn't necessarily reflect the staff analysis in terms of the interplay between paragraph 28 and 27. It seems to imply that if you meet paragraph 27, three criteria stop. Whereas the paper clearly points out where the absence doesn't necessarily mean you're not an investment entity, but you need some additional judgment. And I think reflecting that would be helpful.
So I think, Reinhardt, to clarify, I think, are you picking up something that's in paragraph 15 of
yes.
the paper, where there's some words in maybe paragraph B85N?
Okay. Should we move on to the next? Bonnie?
Just one maybe comment to add on to Reinhardt's. In the agenda decision wording, it seems very definitive. I agree with the conclusion, but I think there's some helpful language within B85. I mean, there's quite a few paragraphs that talk about the assessment of the characteristics of an investment entity, and I think it would be helpful to refer to that additional guidance.
Okay, so I move on to the next issue then. Paragraph 27A of IFRS 10 requires an investment entity to provide investors with investment management services. Submitter asked whether a subsidiary that outsources the performance of these services still meets the criteria and can still be considered as providing investment management services. Our analysis of this issue is outlined in paragraph 19 to 23. In our view, the requirement to provide investment management services does not preclude an investment entity from outsourcing the performance of these services to a third party. Again, I'll just pause here and ask if you agree with our analysis and conclusion on this issue.
Yeah, I fully agree with the staff analysis. I mean, as long as it is a principle or so, it's fine to me.
Thank you.
Bonnie? I had a similar comment on the principal versus agency relationship. I'm not as familiar with these types of entities, so I don't know if that's a common analysis that's also undertaken to assess whether or not the investment management services would meet the requirements, but I think that's an important point.
I think can I just test out with you, Bonnie, because I think one thing that, you know, since writing the paper, we were already thinking about in terms of the wording of the agenda decision on this question is whether we can build in that something that kind of says, like, when the investment entity is responsible for providing these services to investors, you know, and obviously in that case it's still responsible for it, that might happen to outsource the actual provision to a third party.
Yeah, I think that was maybe some of the comments that I had on the wording is, as long as it's clear that they're the principal in the relationship, I think that the staff analysis makes a lot of sense. If it's an agency, I guess I would question if it would still meet the criteria.
So that responsible for would help you with that point?
I think it would. I don't know if you want to use specifically principal versus agent to refer back to.
The only reason why I hesitate slightly just on the fly is because we use it so specifically in IFRS 10 for other purposes.
Oh, okay.
I think what we were proposing was more. We have something in paragraph 22 of our paper in the first sentence which says this requirement means that an investment entity must be responsible for providing these services, and it can outsource the performance of these services too, as long as it's still responsible for providing them. I think if we build in some wording around this, that might, rather than getting into the exact terms of principal agent.
Maybe. I think we also use the words providing those services on its behalf. So again, linking in. I don't know whether that's necessary to give more emphasis.
I think that would be helpful. I still, when reading through it, it wasn't entirely clear to me that the principal agency analysis. So maybe I just wasn't reading it as clearly to that effect. Maybe I was the only one that had that question.
Bruce?
No, you weren't. I had the same problem. I mean, I'll tell you my concern. I kind of agree with the answer when I read it. The only problem is I just, as you were saying, without kind of having some sort of discussion around it, I battled to get there. I mean, the wording says you need to provide this. My concern is exactly that. At what point are you not providing it, would be my question. You know, at what point is the relationship just too far removed that I'm really just, as you're saying, we'd be careful with the wording, but an agent for that. And I guess my only problem with just the way we've got the agenda decision is, I like the answer. I'm just not convinced. I think it's as clear in paragraph 27 as we're making it out of this.
Do you think, Bruce, that if we were to add some of the words from, say, paragraph 22 in the paper, would that get you?
We could do that. And I hate to do this because I know Sue's going to shoot daggers, but my worry would be the moment we start doing that, I think we're getting out of the realms of an agenda decision. I just get worried that I think that this one specifically, and on the other ones, it's not this one, it's just this one here. I just thought that getting there required a lot more explanation. I'm just worried that we're going to get the question. I can almost see if people are going to come back and say, we need guidance. At what point are we not providing that? Because we're saying in the agenda decision, you can use a third party. Great, I can use a third party for those things. But what guidance must I use to the decision where, at some point, I no longer meet the requirements in the 27A? That's just my concern.
Responsible for thinking help you?
Sorry?
Would making it clear that the investment entity needs to be responsible for providing?
It
so therefore, it needs to do it itself, or it needs to arrange for somebody else to do it by.
And as I said, I'm happy for us to put that in. My worry is that when we put it in once again, when we put it into an agenda decision, are we really adding guidance that's not in the standard for an agenda decision? So my concern would be that, Nick.
Young Sue?
I'm not sure whether we have to plug in the principal kind of things in this agenda decision or the SAP paper. No, I think what is important is whether the investment entity is providing services, not how or how much. So what I think is, I don't think the standard also says something like responsible for providing service or anything like that. So I think, you know, I agree with the staff analysis. What matters is whether the entity is providing service or not, not by how much.
All right, thank you. John?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the wording in paragraph 22 might help. I mean, I don't have an issue with it. It seems to me that if the entity is providing services, whether it's providing them through its own employees or engaging a party to provide them, it's still providing the services. So I don't see it as being needing interpretation or standard amendment. I think it's fairly clear. I would have thought that if we enhanced the wording a bit to sort of make sure that it's they that have the responsibility to provide the services, then how they provide them is not relevant to the decision.
Tony?
Exactly the same as John. I had the same comment on the agenda decision itself, but I think the words that Petrina was talking about would be fine. It just seems to me clear enough from the standard that if the entity is responsible for providing the services, it doesn't matter how it does it.
So it sounded like with those clarifications before John. Right, so move to question three.
Yep. So on the third issue, the submitter described a situation in which a subsidiary holds investments as a beneficial owner. It recognizes those investments in its financial statements, and the subsidiary has no other activity. The submitter asked if the subsidiary provides services that relate to its parent's investment activities. Our analysis is outlined in paragraph 26 to 30. The committee discussed a similar issue in 2014. And concluded that the holding of investments alone does not constitute provision of investment-related services. Similarly, we conclude that holding of investment does not constitute a service that relates to the parent's investment activities, as described in paragraph 32 of IFRS 10. Again, I'll pause here and ask if you agree with our analysis and conclusion.
John?
Yeah, I agree with the conclusion. It's consistent with what we discussed in 2014 on the committee when we discussed this issue at some length and concluded that holding the investments is not the provision of investment management services.
Okay. Nobody else? All right.
The fourth issue. The submitter described a situation in which a parent has a non-investment entity subsidiary that provides investment management services to third parties. Submitter asked if the significance of the investment management services provided by the subsidiary could result in the parent failing to meet the definition of an investment entity. Our analysis is outlined in paragraph 32 to 39 of the paper. We think that an investment entity, together with its subsidiaries, can provide investment-related services to third parties, even if those services are substantial, as long as those services are ancillary to its core investing activities and do not change the business purpose of the investment entity. Again, I'm going to pause here and ask if you agree with our analysis and conclusion on this issue.
No comments? Everyone's happy? Everyone has?
I don't disagree with the analysis and conclusions, but I didn't see any of that really reflected in the agenda decision in terms of the fact pattern that was discussed in the paper was where the subsidiary provided third-party related services and the impact of that relative to the investment entity itself. And so the conclusion of the agenda paper was that because the subsidiary provided only invest third parties or only had third services to third parties, it was not considered to be an extension of the parent for purposes of the consolidation analysis. And as I say, that wasn't reflected in the agenda decision.
So
the way I read question, the agenda decision was more generic, generic discussion.
Yeah, so you're referring to the analysis we have in paragraph 32 and 33, which is kind of like the first step where we look at the nature of the services that the subsidiary is providing to the third parties.
So is that right, Reinhardt? Are you thinking we didn't pick up a piece of analysis there in the agenda decision, that the agenda decision kind of focuses more on saying almost how significant or not the services to third parties are for, you know, the investment entity and its subsidiaries, without reflecting that we think as a first step you look at whether you think your subsidiary provides activities that are related, services that are related.
So we need to pick something up in the wording then to talk about the subsidiary first and its relationship to the parent, and then go into the wider picture with the overall level of the cost.
I mean, I agree with this. I agree with the staff conclusion. I do think there's a sort of a I think the use of the word ancillary and substantial services is sort of not helpful for people, because you're sort of talking about it being ancillary to the core purpose and yet being substantial. So I think that, I mean, it is what it says, so I think that conclusion is correct, but I think it's not particularly helpful in providing any type of guidance to people as to how to make that determination. I don't have any suggestions for, you know, without taking it on the agenda and trying to provide some more.
So you don't disagree with your notion?
I don't disagree with it, but I'm not sure it's particularly helpful.
It'd be worse. Michael, do you have any comments on any of the questions?
No, I agree with this last time. I like on all the questions.
Okay, thank you. Bonnie?
I thought maybe the last sentence of paragraph 37 at least was helpful for me to understand kind of the conclusion, which I agree with, that the services, even if they're substantial, they don't change the overall business purpose of the primary investment entity. So I don't know if that would be helpful language to bring into the agenda decision, to maybe address John's point.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we'll set as backdrop.
To the agenda criteria, yeah. Okay, so we assessed this issue against the Interpretations Committee agenda criteria. Our assessment is provided in paragraph 40 of the paper. On the basis of our assessment, we think the requirements in IFRS standards provide an adequate basis to enable an entity to determine the appropriate accounting. And therefore, we recommend the committee does not add this issue to its agenda. Proposed wording for the agenda decision is outlined in Appendix A. So I would now like to ask you if you agree with our recommendation not to add this issue to the agenda, and if you agree, do you have any comments on the proposed wording of the agenda decision? We will take on board the comments that we've already discussed, so anything other than what we came up in our discussions already.
Bob?
I agree with doing this as an agenda decision. As I said before, I think that because three of the four issues really are around, not subsidiaries, but around what definition of an investment entity, I would prefer to see the preamble, the part before, being more generic. But if you leave it as is, I think you need to build in paragraph 32, because it talks about, you know, consolidating a subsidiary and then goes into these issues, and there's a disconnect, and I think the disconnect is not bringing in paragraph 32, which says, well, by the way, if the subsidiary is an investment entity, you don't consolidate it. So I found that missing.
So Bob's raised a good point, I think, which is that a lot of the analysis in here is not just relevant to the specific fact pattern. It's more broadly applicable to the definition of an investment entity. So would the committee be comfortable with us rewording the agenda decision to try and bring that out more?
So it might be something more in this, but it could be almost as simple in A and B or whatever, rather than saying, does a subsidiary qualify, does an entity qualify?
Okay, people are nodding. Okay, so on that basis, is the committee agreeing with the staff's recommendation not to add this issue to the agenda? Yes? Mm-hmm. Thank you. You've given us some comments on the tentative agenda decision, and I guess you'll take any specific drafting points offline. Okay, thank you very much.